In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Well, you know, it's written that one of the disciples asked Jesus, "How do we pray?" Now, this was a man who asked him, who knew the scriptures. He was a man who knew the prophets. He was a man who went to synagogue all the time. So he prayed. He knew how to pray. But he also wanted to know how his master prayed. And see, there's a difference, because the Jews prayed differently. You know, one of the things that just kind of goes over our head, because we're so, well, we've grown up with it, but for the first Jews, it was momentous to be able to call God Father. To be able to call God Father. You know, when an Orthodox Jew writes the name of God in English, he will write, as it's typed, G space space. He will not write the name G-O-D. He cannot. He cannot even write Elohim. He cannot say the name, because it's written, "Do not take the Lord your God's name in vain." Don't use it. Do not use it at all. So no Orthodox person up until this day who is a Jew will speak the name of God. Then here comes this young rabbi and said, not only may you call him God, you may call him Father. And he is now going to have the same relationship to you as he has to me. Can you imagine this gift? Well, what are they going to say? You have to think about some of these things that you've seen in the movies, these science fiction movies, you know, where there's the Force, or there's, you know, there's something that's out there, this mystical power from which life generates, and now you're going to climb this very, or go through this very tough course in order to get to the source of that power, and the power is anonymous, and it's frightening, and it's, you know. God was that way for many. God was that way for many. Until the Lord came, and he took flesh, and he said, "Taste and touch, and this is my body, take, eat, drink." And he said, "This is now the case. I am not going to pray for you. You may pray directly to your Father." And the Lord said, when he ascended, he said, "I go to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." This relationship, this whole thing. You know, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, because I'm not going to go into it deeply, because it would take a day, a minimum of a day, to go through and parse the language. Look, we pray things in the Lord's Prayer, that very simple prayer, that are so deep that I can tell you that you and me are not really praying the prayer. You can't have prayed the prayer. Because to pray the prayer as it is written means something would have had to have changed so incredibly in your life that everybody would have noticed you. I mean, it'd be like you were walking around with a little halo around your head. For example, "Thy kingdom come." Who can pray this prayer? What happens when the Lord's kingdom comes? Everything is judged. Everything is judged. Well, who is ready to be judged? Raise your hand. Huh? Have any sins in you? Any cupidity? Any lusts? Any anger? Any resentments? Any bitterness? You have any of that in you? How are you going to pray that kingdom come? Oh yeah, I want you to see all the bitterness. I want you to look at all the lust. Look at the cupidity. Look at all of the things that are separating me from you. And that will be the operative word, because you will be separated. So you don't pray it. You say it. And me too. I'm not separating me from you. But I'm simply saying that this is the word of perfection, because when we say these prayers, we are asking, as the Lord Jesus Christ has given us, this segue where we can become as he is to the Father. He can, but for him to be Father, for him to be Father, think of just the next line. Hallowed be thy name. Who keeps the Lord's name holy? Who keeps the Lord's name holy? Who has not said, God condemn? I'm using the cleaned up version. Who has not said, God condemn? Okay? If it's not holy to you, if you do not keep it holy, you are saying the prayer, you are not praying the prayer. People don't understand what prayer means. It's not just a list, you know, like my wife gives me, you know, some things to buy at the grocery store. I write it down on a piece of paper and then I go dutifully off to purchase them. That's not the way it is with the Lord. Ask and you will receive, because that's the second part of this. If you pray rightly, the things that you are praying for, you're going to get. Now, it's going to come to you in the Lord's time, because just like I was talking with Joshua one day, my grandson, about a car. When you get to be old enough, I'm going to get you a car. Well, he's thinking, when's that going to be? Next week? Well, no, I'm going to get you a car, but you have to be 10 years older than you are now. Do you know what 10 years sounds like to him? You have any idea? He's only lived 6. 10 years is an infinity. And that's the way we feel when our prayers aren't answered. What, Lord? How long do I have to wait? No, I'm going to give it to you. It's a good thing to ask for. You're going to get it. But you have to wait. Because if I give it to you in this time, it may kill you. It may harm you. You may be hurt by it. But when you know how to ask God, and when you approach God in the right way through prayer, you're always going to be answered, and you're going to feel it inside. When you ask for something that's kind of like, oh God, you know, could you just help me out here? You might as well stick your thumb out on the road and try to hitchhike home. Because that's all that is going to be coming your way. That's not prayer. We so little hear about how to pray. It starts with cleaning yourself, so that each word that you use doesn't have some force existing inside you that fights against the very word you've chosen. Remember when the young man came to the Lord and he said, good master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, why callest thou me good? Why are you calling me good? Why? You don't believe it? That's what's happening when you pray. When you pray, as soon as the word is leaving your mouth, you don't believe it's going to happen. So it doesn't happen. Lord God, that's a prayer. That's a prayer. I've been around prayer. I've been around prayer. I've been around the bedside of a child who was dying, and I watched the child's mother pray. And she was praying. She was praying. And there was not one word that came out of her mouth that would offend the Lord because of some conflict that remained inside her. There was nothing to inhibit the purity of her heart being carried by her words to heaven, as we say, when we put the incense into the censer and the odor rises up to heaven like the sweet prayers of the saints. And you may be saint, not called on to yet do any job named spectacular, but you may be saint. It just requires that there is within you no conflict. So many people are filled with so many conflicts, they can barely function in society. I want this, but I can't do that. I have to do that, but it's repugnant to me. I must do that. The people that are telling me to do that are crazy. It's just this ping-pong back and forth. So what happens? Nothing gets done. Why don't we make more progress individually in our lives when in the privacy of our own thoughts we set goals for ourselves? Why is it when we set a goal for ourselves we do not finish it? Why? Because we're conflicted. I want this. No, I don't. I need this. Yes, I do. I have to work for it. I'm not willing. Whatever the dialogue is taking place within you, that's why you are failing in your life to succeed in the very private goals that nobody on earth knows about except you. Your own private ambitions for yourself that you never told anyone about, except perhaps maybe your father of confession. Nothing that anybody can pick at you for. You're just a failure. And you are a failure because you haven't cleaned yourself. So, remember that prayer about the publican, and he's saying to the Lord, I am not fit that you would come under the roof of my house. You remember that prayer? It's in your Agbaya. I am not fit that you would come under the roof. What's the roof of your house? Well, your head. That'd be your roof. Most people. And what is the roof? The roof is the intelligence that we have amassed over time through experience and education and whatnot to protect ourselves. And that's what a roof does. A roof protects you from things that may fall. Rain, snow, hail, any kind of falling debris. The roof of your house, but what then constitutes the house? The place where the soul dwells. The real you. That's why in Arabic the word for soul and self are the same. Nafsik. Mishkida? Nafsik? I'm not getting any look of a flash of yes, that's right or no, that's wrong. What does nefsik mean? Self and? It's your soul.
Soul is roha.
Yeah, well, that's spirit. Roh is spirit.
Loving your own self.
Yeah, but what is soul? What is your soul? What's the word for soul in Arabic? That is spirit. Ruh is spirit. Ruh al-Qudus. Have I learned more Arabic than you all now? Trust me. Self. Real self. Is that which the Lord created. External self, that's what you've piled on cosmetically with cosmetics. it's like they could say, oh, doctor, oh, muhandis, oh, Well, look. To be taught this prayer, it means to go back and look at it again. Do you realize it's the single thing that we received from the Lord's mouth about how to pray. We have some other little things. We're told not, when we pray, not to pray as the with vain repetitions as the heathen do. We have little things like that. But these words are so big, and nobody thinks much about them. Yeah, abandon us for some way. And then it tapers off. In any church I've ever been to, everybody's got that first part right. Yeah, abandon us for some way. It's very deep. And then again, when you have prayed rightly, the Lord adds that part at the bottom about the friend coming to another man's house because he has an unexpected visitor and he has no bread, he needs to borrow some. And his friend wouldn't do it because of their friendship, but because the guy's knocking on the door and he's going to wake up the whole house. He's going to do it. He said, so if you know you're going to get things, if you know they're going to come, even in these circumstances, be certain in your heart that they are going to come when you ask God the Father Almighty, your Father and my Father, our Father. To him be glory, honor, and worship, together with the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, who is one essence with you both now and ever, into the age of life.